there, ladies, gentlemen. Ladies, gentlemen, ladies, gentlemen. Anyway, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. Before we get to our regularly scheduled episode, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsors. Now, this episode coming up, okay, this episode that you're about to listen to, we do it right from Demented Brewery, okay? Now, Demented Brewing was one of our favorite sponsors, okay? They are located in Middlesex, New Jersey. They make a variety of seasonally inspired, insanely flavorful ales. You got to visit them. 16-tap tasting room. They got a mug club, a barrel program. You can get their Imperial Stout Wrath, okay, in bottles. And they got a release every Sunday, pretty much a new beer every single Sunday. Like, for instance, just yesterday they released Bloody Bastard, a blood orange red IPA. Oh, so good. Next Sunday, they're going to be releasing a single hop Amarillo IPA. They got new tanks, which you'll hear about. Their operational brewery is just expanding. It's just a really cool place to go grab a beer. So I highly recommend it. That is Demented Brewing. For all things Demented Brewing, go to dementedbrewing.com. Once again, bringing us to the second brewery that sponsors us, because craft beer is just exploding in New Jersey, and this guy could not be any happier, and it's fantastic. But Manskirt Brewing, okay, Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Soon it's going to be like the beer capital of New Jersey. Lots of them popping up over there, but Manskirt Brewing. Yes, that's correct, Manskirt. Go there and visit Joe and his Manskirt, or his kilt. But in a really cool location in an old bank building, they just added a fifth tap to the tasting room. They're calling it the Under the Kilt Tap. Ooh, Under the Kilt. So it will change with their moods. Okay, so if Joe's in a good mood, maybe you have something, bright and happy. If he's in a bad mood, maybe dark and stouty. Who knows? But definitely check that out. Come in and taste what's new that day. Okay, Let There Be Roush. Okay, is there new Roush beer in kegs? Will be on tap either within the next week or two. So keep an eye on the website for latest news. Okay, so that's Manskirt Brewing. Check them out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and at manskirtbrewing.com. Bringing us to Trivia Revolution, combining all this craft beer talk here, fueled by craft beer. Okay, they bring the best of trivia and craft beer together. We just had our first Verbal Shenanigans, a comedy trivia night, and it was a great success. So go to Trivia Revolution on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Each week you get a bonus item, okay, which means you can earn points for doing nothing. Okay, even if you come in last place, okay, you can still win a brewery gift card to things like Beach House and River Horse and Ramstein and Cricket Hill and Demented and Manskirt and all that stuff. So, again, that's Trivia Revolution fueled by craft beer. Finally, our longest sponsor, Wolf Nation. What can I say about Wolf Nation that I haven't said before? Wake up, live free. Richie started this brand, and, you know, it's a clothing brand. Basically, just telling you, you know, you're tired of working for someone, working for your paycheck. Well, there's a way. This is America. You can make your own way, okay? That's what Wolf Nation's trying to show, okay? So they got apparel coming out for men, women, children, gym wear, maybe some for dogs, okay? But really nice work coming out, and I've seen a lot of the designs, and I think you guys will be happy. So support Wolf Nation. Follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So with that in mind, guys, here is a podcast from Demented Brewing. Drink up!
Hey, mates, all you listening out there, this is Diggsy, your favorite little drunk from Avalon. Just telling you, listen to Verbal Shenanigans. It's a hoot.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Verbal Shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Michael Berlew.
Yes, my friend.
We are on location again.
Again.
We have graduated from an apartment in Rahway to now Demented Brewery in Middlesex, New Jersey. One of our one of our fine sponsors. We're actually sitting here next to a bunch of barrels and two very attractive-looking people here.
Oh, thank you very much.
You are cute, Tom.
It's not three? Wait a minute.
Two very
You've
attractive
only had
people.
Two beers.
But, no, it's very cool. First off, let's introduce you to Tom Zuber, correct, if I say it right?
Yep, that's right.
I always worry about it. If it's, like, something with a Z, it's usually hard to pronounce, yeah. Like, but yours is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But, Tom, you are the owner, I guess, of Demented Brewery, correct?
That's right, yep.
That's got to be a great title, man. I own a brewery. and then we're joined also here with Liz. I don't know your last name.
Liz Carasquillo. I'm the tasting room manager.
What was the last name?
Carasquillo. I know it's a mouthful.
Carasquillo. Is that it with a C or a Q?
It is a C. And there's a Q in there as well.
Q, Z, it's going to be hard to keep up with.
We'll just call her Liz.
Yeah. I hope so.
But, Tom, first off, thanks for having us out here. As we, like I said, we're sitting next to pretty much, 15, 20 barrels. Ooh. Of, and the smell right now in this place, the first thing I said to you is smell in here is awesome, because something must be brewing, but, you see that? It was almost like a pun. Something Ooh. Must be brewing. But first off, Demented Brewery, we are here in Middlesex. First off, I know you guys are coming up on an anniversary, but how long have you guys been operational at this point?
So we started brewing in April of last year, and we released our first batch of Double Dementia on May 1st last year.
So literally a year.
Yeah, literally
like
a year.
4 days.
Yep. In 4 days, we actually launched from Ferraro's Pizzeria and Pub last year, and we did our launch party from there. And we thought it only fitting to bring it back there this year for our first anniversary. And we're going to be releasing our first batch of Double Dementia reformulated by our new brewer. We're really excited about it. We think it's a great beer. It's more than likely going to be what Double Dementia becomes down the road. And, we're really excited about it.
Before we like even get ahead of ourselves, the name Demented, the look Demented, the idea of Demented, when did that all start? Were you a home brewer? Were you just a beer drinker? Like what made you want to get into this business?
So I started home brewing about 8 years ago, and I was just like anybody else. I had a love for beer. I just started brewing, it just took off, I started doing bigger, better things, and I spent better part of 6 years creating recipes and formulating new ideas and stuff. And in 2014, we decided that we wanted, my wife and I sat down and we decided that we should do something with it. And we decided to start the brewery and Demented. It just kind of popped into my head one day. I was trying to figure out how we could incorporate New Jersey into the name of the brewery. Started thinking about Weird New Jersey and some of the things that I did when I was a kid, and I was a scout when I was a kid, and
Me
I
too,
heard
man.
Stories about Jersey Devil and this, that, and the other thing.
I wonder if we were in the same troop.
you never know.
You said you were from Woodbridge, right, or Columbus?
I grew up in Bayonne, actually.
Oh, that's where my whole family's from. But I am. You're sitting across from an Eagle Scout, just to let you know.
I'm an Eagle Scout
as
well.
Yeah, baby! Fist bump down. Eagles fly together.
That's probably not an eagle, but...
I don't think eagles make that noise.
That was like a dead goose right there.
But yeah, no, Demented popped into my head. I was like, wow, that's like, it's cool because it works with like all the strange and weird phenomena that happens throughout the state. It kind of goes with Weird New Jersey's vibe, and we decided to go with the Jersey Devil in our logo. So if you look at our logo, our main logo has the side profile of the Jersey Devil on it. And then our other logo is like the head of the devil. So we decided to go with it, and it's worked out pretty well for us so far.
What's the first kind of steps to go from like a dream like that to like actually getting it started? What are the plans? How long did it take?
Writing a business plan. and then honestly, that's the biggest first step you can make. It took me the better part of a year to write a business plan, and it's the most valuable thing I've ever done, because it forced me to do a lot of market research that I hadn't done prior to that. You know, when you're home brewing, you're all about making beer that's good for you, and but you don't think about all the aspects of what goes into distributing a product. And you know, so building that business plan was a huge thing. And secondly, finding a space. After we developed the business plan, it took us about 9 months to find a space that we liked.
Do you have a background in business, or did you have to get advice from anybody when you started all this?
I went to school. I was a computer science
all right,
major
right
in school.
Here too.
And I did management information.
IT, bro.
Computer.
Wait, we don't fist. We just emailed each other a thumbs up emoji.
As long as you don't feel left out now. But no, I majored in computer science with a concentration in management information systems. So I did take some business classes in college. So, you know, that's where I kind of get my business background from.
Now, I brewed a lot myself. Still have all the stuff. Been taking a year off because of like a bunch of personal things. But the idea is always in the back of your head. Probably a lot of homebrewers that just love it. It bites them. Like, I would love to do this professionally. But like when you said, like, it's one thing brewing the beer, but there's so much more that goes into it. Whether it's getting your beer out to people, getting the space. Did you find yourself taking a step back from the brewing and had to focus more on the business part, or is it just all of it at once? Because I know you say you have a new head brewer and everything. Like, are you still as involved with the beer, or do you have to run the business all day?
Absolutely. My head brewer, he's our head brewer, our production manager. He runs the whole brewery now. I still have a lot of input into what we brew and how we brew it, but... My job is I do mostly marketing, you know, logistics, legal stuff, HR, human resources, social media, you know, all that. That's I do everything that everyone else doesn't do, basically. And it's a full-time job, you know, like just trying to build a brand and you know, really make it stick and, you know, get the brand out there into people's heads. You know, like it's a lot more involved than one would think.
Yeah. Now, like, I know in recent years the Jersey laws have lightened up a little bit to actually open a brewery or to get like beers out to. I've heard a lot of nightmare stories about people waiting for years, sometimes months and months and months to get approved for this. Was your process like difficult or was it pretty smooth?
Our process was pretty smooth. You know, we took our space in October of 2014 and we got our license by April of 2015. So it was about 5 months.
That's not bad.
Which really wasn't bad. The ABC was really responsive to us. I honestly think it has to do with the fact that our application was complete. You know, sometimes, you know, applications come in that just aren't complete, and then they ask for stuff, and for whatever reason, people don't give them everything that they asked for. But we did our best to get them everything that they asked for when they asked for it, and, you know, it progressed pretty quickly for us. So,
how long did it take to actually build up this place, or is this the original place? Or
so the space prior to us, it was a warehouse. It was used by a janitorial supply company, and
which is your next IPA, right?
This Clorox Stout is amazing.
But they, you know, we took the space. We had a lot of plumbing to do, a lot of electrical work to do. We took the space in October of 2015 or 2014, like I said, and fortunately, we got the ball rolling on the work at the same time that we got the ball rolling on the permits, and then we were ready at about the same time that we actually got our permits. So. You know, it kind of worked out.
Yeah, like even as a craft beer, like I always go to Jersey Brewing. Now they're popping up everywhere. But I feel like you guys I heard your name, all of a sudden, bam, you were there. Like it was just, like you appeared. Like it was I didn't hear like they were coming. Like all of a sudden it was just Demented's here. Holy shit, like that's 20 minutes from my house, you know? Like, so I, like you said, I guess things did kind of align time-wise for you and you were just able to appear. But
you like the building. I know I've talked about with this with you before. First off, the building is awesome. It just it kind of screams brewery. Like it just looks that's perfect brewery space. But you also seem to have made the smart choice that you are able to expand in here. Like. You have room. And all these breweries I visit, like, you know, they're in the closets and garages and, it, well, it feels like that. And they're like, oh, we've already outgrown our tasting room. We've outgrown this. So I know you guys have plans on even getting more stuff, expanding. What's going on with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a ton of room to expand in here. I mean, it looks a little crowded in here right now only because the barrels that we have aren't stacked.
Right.
You know, they're single stacked right now. We can go five high with these guys. But we can make a lot of room in here for new tanks.
Easy.
We actually have two new tanks coming in next week, two new 30-barrel fermenters. And in May, we've got a 30-barrel bright tank coming in, which is going to allow us to start canning.
Yep.
That's great. Yeah, we've got a lot of good things going on. We can add another, I think it's another 11, including the tanks that we have coming in, another 11 10-barrel fermenters. And another two 10-barrel bright, 30-barrel bright tanks. I'm sorry, 30 barrels on all that. But
That's significant. It's significant. Yeah. What are you working with now? Like, how much are you working with now?
Right now, we've got two 10-barrel fermenters.
Oh, so you're
a 15-barrel bright, and a 30-barrel fermenter.
When you're buying this new equipment, is it always exciting? Is there ever like an ounce of fear? It's kind of like, wow, we're really getting up there. It's kind of a gamble.
Right now, no. I mean, right now, production is tight. You know, we've actually had to tell our distributor that we don't have enough beer for them. You know, that they've been ordering for the last few weeks because we're not able to produce enough given our current tanks. So you know, these tanks that are coming in are just necessary to keep up with production. And to hopefully give us the opportunity to start producing more seasonal beers that we want to put on tap in our tasting room.
It's funny you say that. Like, you know, we've been doing the ads with you guys for about a month now or whatnot. And one of the things that is very impressive about your brewery is the tap room and the amount of beers you guys have on tap at any time. I know you have 16 taps, which usually, what do you have, about 10 to 12, 13 beers on tap at all times?
Ideally 13, because we usually run one nitro.
Yep.
And we'll usually run the same beer on CO2 and nitro because we can't do growler fills with the nitro. You know, we'll keep it on CO2 just to do growler fills on CO2. But, yeah, usually about 13 different beers. And then we have the two sodas.
Yep.
We do the vanilla cream soda and the root beer. They're non-alcoholic. They're for kids and designated drivers. So,
yeah, it's like I said, for a new brewery, you know, a year is very young. It seems like you guys are at least pivoted in the right direction, like with the space. The tap room is gorgeous, which we'll get to in a second. And the amount of beers for a new brewery, like you know, every time I get to read that, I always ask you every week, what do you got now? We got a new strawberry cream out. We got this coming out. So you're brewing a lot of new stuff, but I guess you also have to keep up on flagship beers, your standard beers too.
Our core stuff.
And how do you manage that? Like, is it just one brewer, or are you guys all part of the process here?
It's, you know, our core beers are our number one priority because those are our distributable beers. Those are the beers that are going out to accounts throughout New Jersey. We're currently in 223 accounts throughout the state of New Jersey. So supplying beer to them is obviously our number one priority. Aside from that, you know, once we can, you know, comfortably do that, the next priority is to be brewing seasonally inspired ales, which we have on tap in the tasting room. So these seasonals, which we release hopefully every Sunday, is really what we're trying to
get to. To that since I met you. Like, it's almost every week we got something new to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's very ambitious, you know, to keep that cycle rotating, you know, and because I think a lot of people don't realize it's the time. It's the fermenting time. It's the secondary time. It's the, you know, whatever it is, tapping time, carbing time. It's like
you know, you've got that, I guess you've got that down pretty well at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Liz, I feel like we've been ignoring you.
I just like watching Tom talk, to be honest with you.
You like watching him talk?
Oh, God. Look at this beautiful beast.
He is. He is hot.
I am a beast.
He's a good bear right over there.
So I wanted to talk about the tap room. The tap room, not only is it like a cool size room, but the murals on the wall, if anybody's been here, which we'll get to, it's just really... What would you describe it like? Hell-inspired monsters.
It's
and
the
demons.
Jersey Devil's Brewery.
Yeah, demonic,
it's
if
it.
You
it's
will.
It's the Devil's Brewery.
It's kind of playful, but it still has remnants of hellish figures.
I imagine that's what your childhood was mostly like.
Yeah, most of my life I dealt with red horn people bringing me by to certain places, you know, teaching me the way, you know. And now I'm a grown-up
devil.
Well,
you are from South Jersey, right? Isn't that where the Pine Barrens?
Well, technically it was Pennsylvania first, and then I went over to Central Jersey, South Brunswick, so.
Oh, wow. And Jersey Devils.
South Jersey.
Less fun.
But, it's a different type of hell, all right?
Yeah.
Good call.
Go Phillies.
So you are in charge of the tap room?
I am.
Now, I've been here, I don't know, 5-6 times, maybe something like that. I pretty much see you here every single time.
I don't leave this building.
You don't leave the building. So you probably see... Well, one, you obviously need to know about every single beer. So are you closely involved on what's coming up, what's coming out, or is it just like...
I know all of that. I also know that you're drinking a beer that has 15 pounds of cold-pressed coffee in it next to a Dunkin' Donuts cup. So I'm confused and horrified for your life. You can actually run home at this point.
You should see how many coffees I've had today. This
he's complimenting the coffee.
With a great beer.
Yeah, you know like how you pair food and beer? I pair coffee with coffee stouts.
But yes, as you asked...
Bud Light doesn't go well with Dunkachinos. We found that out earlier today.
That's a lot of experimenting.
You got to do what you got to do for the podcast.
Yeah. But
yeah. Like you said, no, I'm closely involved with it. Fresh and I are always sending emails back and forth. Tom and I talk constantly throughout the day. The guys keep everyone in the loop. We have Mike Jones, who's our salesman, who actually, you know, sends out the...
The rapper?
Email. No, Mike,
Mike
Jones.
Mike Jones.
You know how many times I hear that a day?
But, I was wondering where he went. He did disappear.
To Demented Brewing. He gives a great tour.
So you're into the tasting of the beers. Is it something like wines where you got to go like sniffing it?
It's
and
very
think,
close.
Sipping it?
We're not going to spit it out like you do with wine.
Yeah.
Certainly going to savor it.
And like, can you like do flavor profiles?
I'm currently
getting
better at it. I am. You can identify any beer here by color. You pour a beer anywhere in that tap room right now for me. I'll tell you exactly what beer it is on tap.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So you must see. This is what I wanted to kind of get into. You must see the whole gamut of people come through the tasting room.
Sure.
You've got the. I have no clue what this is. Kind of. Hey, you know, we just saw the sign here. Kind of people. You have. The, you know, the really awesome, attractive people like me.
and me.
But then, not me.
Then you're going to get, I always like to say the craft beer people are, for me, they're divided in half. There's some really cool, genuine people that are supportive. And then there's the other half.
Yep.
Beer snob.
That nothing is good enough. They've aligned themselves to one or two breweries, and it doesn't matter what you put out, what you do. They have this hate thing in their head, and I don't think it has anything. I would always wanted to like take a bunch of beer snob and blind taste test.
Oh, it has nothing to do with your beer.
Yeah.
It's where they're loyal to.
But I was going to say, you see all these kind of people, and that's got to be kind of the fun of the job.
Not fun, but also very... I got a good one for you. It's a 2-second story. Guy came from a restaurant down the road. He was loaded.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Clearly wasn't going to serve him, so I gave him a root beer, non-alcoholic.
Oh, yes.
Said it was on the house. Enjoy the beer. He looked at me and said it was the best beer he'd ever tasted in his life.
You were ranting about that root beer the other day, Mike.
I smell creams.
Yep. He kept going on and on about it.
It has a... ambiance of the A&W type. I really, yes, I can feel
you get them
my
all.
Veins
you get them all.
Getting
you have
alcohol in it. Yes.
The guys that come in and they've gone on Untappd and they've said some ridiculous stuff and they come in with their notepads and their special books.
See, this is exactly where I was trying to lead to.
Yep.
I
like, it's almost like, you know, like, the podcast have naturally... beer has always been one thing I love a lot and seek out, and, like, now with certain releases of breweries I like, it's starting to get ridiculous where people go and buy 7 cases of it. There's nothing left in 2 days, and the comments people make, and it actually has become somewhat of a turnoff, like, to be on some of these sites or message boards, where I thought, like, years ago, it was, like, cool to, like, find people who enjoyed the beer with you, whereas now it's almost like it's a privilege or something. I can't explain it, but I'm sure you see it.
You see it every day. The big difference is you have that split, like you said before. There's the people that want to keep it cool, fun, they brew. Then there's people that just know too much about it entirely, and they just want to put everyone else down. Those websites are just mean to begin with.
See, but I find some of them don't know a lot about it, but it's a pretend, like a... You know, like, have you ever brewed? No. You know, but like, you know, like, do you know what goes? No, but I've bought in this beer. But the things with the trading and it gets me crazy. It's like, come on, man. Like, I want to go to a brewery and enjoy that beer, but someone's bought 27 cases of it.
And you can't even get one.
You know?
And then they're sitting in their trunk selling it for double the price.
I know, trading them in parking lots 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
Like,
well, we've had
I brought in 12 of my friends to get 6 packs.
I know, exactly. Like, do you find that a good thing for the, you know, owning brewery, working a brewery, or do you find that a challenge?
I don't like finding empty 6-packs in the parking lot when we're closing up at night, but I love the fact that people are really getting into it and they're enjoying their time, you know. But beer trading, it's going to always be there from now on. It's almost, you know, an underground black market of
it
craft beers.
Is.
And I want to see it grow because it helps us grow. I do agree. I just don't like putting others down. Everyone has room to grow. That, like, you know, certain forums on Facebook, stuff like that. I have the people come in here, and I've seen some comments on Untappd where I'm staring at a man through the eyes as I'm watching what he's writing about our beer. And you can't, you know, you can't say anything, but you're like, did he really just write that? And, you know, it's always hit or miss. Everyone has their own taste, and they're going to have their own following.
Yep.
That's one thing that I really do appreciate about Tom is Tom's nothing but respect, and he loves to hear everything and talk beer. And Tom's been around. He's tried a lot of beers, so I'm learning a lot from him and from Doug Fresh, you know. So it's just it's a big guild that's just growing. It's only the beginning of craft beer.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to ask you, Tom. Is it hard, you know, you're running the business. Is it hard to – obviously you're always going to be behind your product, but is it hard to take the criticism and heat, or is it like it's just kind of part of the territory?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you're gonna have people who rate your beer really well. You're gonna have people who rate it low. You know, it's you know, you take the highs with the lows, and you look at the average. You know, and you say, all right, on average, how are we doing?
Right.
You know, and you know, you're not gonna please everybody. You know, that's what it comes down to. And I've come to realize that, and as long as you know we're doing well on average, I'm happy.
Right,
I agree. You
know? Now, as Scott has taken me to a bunch of different breweries, we've gone out a few times. It just seems like the craft brew industry. It's almost to the effect there's no competition. You're all friends, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
Why is that? Like, when you look at bigger companies like Burger King hates McDonald's and everything like that, how come the breweries were all... It just seems like you're all pals, for lack of a better term.
I think we're all working towards the same goal. And especially here in New Jersey, craft beer hasn't really boomed as much as it has in other areas of the country. So I think we all see the potential for growth in craft beer in general. And I think
that was so cute how Liz just patted your back there as you burped.
We're
you
a team.
That's a team effort, you know.
But I think craft beer has a lot of room to grow in this state, and I think there's room for every brewery that's currently out there and every brewery that's about to be out there.
Yeah, you find like especially Jersey. Like I just read the other day. I guess there's the next couple of weeks there'll now be 50 breweries in New Jersey. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, 2 opened up last week alone.
Yeah. You have Jersey Girl and Elementary, right?
Elementary,
and then you got the one in chat, Twin Elephant, opening up next weekend.
Yep.
So that's a great sign, because if it wasn't a market that was doing well, they wouldn't be opening.
Exactly.
You know, they'd be closing. And I can't off the top of my head think of a brewery that's closed down.
yet.
Yeah, no.
You know, like, I don't see one that's gone, you know? Even if they're one I don't personally like you said, like, it just, it seems like they have their audience. They must be doing okay. So, like, with that, do you, your first year in business, was it highly successful? Was it way better than you thought? Was it exactly what you thought it was going to be?
I think it was challenging. that challenging is probably the best word to describe it. You know, like any startup business, you have challenges. Right. And, you know, fortunately, we were able to you know, move through them. And, you know, we're in a great position moving forward. And, you know, I'm happy to be the owner of this company. You know?
Could you see yourself doing anything else since this started? You know, like...
Absolutely not. This is my last stop.
Not dropping back into computer science or anything.
No. Well, I may do some side work from here and there, but you know, I'm never going back to a full-time day job. You know.
With the new flavors, how crazy do you feel you get? Are you kind of conservative, or just like, yeah, apple's probably good, or are you just like, I found this rare beet down in South Africa. I want to put it into a beer.
We're kind of in the middle.
Okay.
You know, like, we use...
Because I came in for South African beet beer. We use a variety of different stuff.
I mean, we just did a mango habanero IPA. We're coming out with a red IPA with blood orange. Not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. And... you know, we like to experiment. You know, we're doing a whole small batch IPA series, both single hop and fruited IPAs.
Nice.
And you know, we try to keep things fresh, keep things, you know, new. And
speaking of a experiment, what's the biggest disaster beer you guys have made? Nothing. Is there anything that just came out like, oh man, this was not what we expected it to be?
No.
I can vouch for that.
That's a good sign.
Wow.
Even the pilot batches, like, we made an acorn squash Abbey, we made a sweet potato porter. They all came out delightful.
That's awesome. I usually hear like, oh man, we tried this and, you know.
Raw chicken ale just didn't pass the test.
We had one winter warmer we did over the winter that just didn't fully, you know, attenuate, which means basically ferment.
Right.
And we had to scrap that one. But other than that, you know, everything else has been spot on.
That's awesome. So looking towards the future in the next coming years, you're only a year in. Like I said, it sounds and looks like things are on track. But what are some short-term, long-term goals for the brewery?
I think, you know, short-term, you know, we're looking to get into cans for the summer.
I'm always looking to get into cans in the summer. You know what I mean.
Oh, you went there. This guy.
But we'll probably sell our cans right out of the tasting room. And then, you know, we're looking to get into Philadelphia and the New York City markets.
Yep.
You know, pretty soon we actually have a meeting with the Philadelphia distributor next week, which is pretty exciting for us. So I'm hoping to add a few more tanks by the end of the year, get into Philly, New York, have the canning going, hopefully bring in our own canning line, and by next spring start to distribute cans.
Is canning definitely the way to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is it just because, one, it blocks light? I know that's a good thing, but is it just cheaper and more economical?
It's more economical. No. You know, you don't need a labeling machine because you can buy cans pre-printed.
No.
The can stays colder. You can take it to more places like pools and beaches where, you know, glassware is frowned upon because it can break. So there's a lot of advantages to cans.
It's so funny how that changed over here. Like, I remember, like, just think about canned beer. You think of, like, old Swill and, like, mm-hmm. Coors Light and
Billy
Schlitz.
Beer.
And, you know, like, when you were growing up. And now it's like I seek out, like, great cans of beer. It's like, wow. You know, it just completely changed that perception, you know. And now it's like almost every everything is like almost a can version of something. If it's in bottles, it's a lot of times coming out in cans now. Mm-hmm. Now you see the what are you, crawlers now and
crawlers,
yeah. Yeah. Crawlers, French crawlers.
Yeah, it's amazing how they put the beer into the whole the donut, bakery thing. The donut, I mean, yeah. It's amazing.
It is cool.
You bite into it and you get drunk. It's amazing.
Now I noticed the. I know you said that the building in front of you were thinking about expanding a tasting room and stuff like that. Is that still an option? Or?
Yeah, we're hoping to. It really depends on, you know, whether the person who's in there right now wants to leave.
Well, I know a guy who can scare them right out.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, this guy right here?
Is there somebody behind me, Scott? I don't see him.
But, you know, we'd love to. I mean, we have our eye on that building. We'd love to expand our tasting room in there, turn the back of it into more cold storage and barrel aging, you know, area. And, you know, I'd love to move in there if we could. But
permanently with the kids and everything?
Oh. Yes.
If I had to.
This is our new home.
That's it.
Deal with it.
Get comfortable.
Your bed's a barrel now, son. Your bed is.
I could cut a barrel in half and make it make one a bed for my son and one a bed for my daughter.
They're actually, done. You know, they would fit.
I was probably like a nice little bassinet, yeah, you know, if you cut them in half.
Yeah, comfy. Put a nice little blanket in there, yeah. You know.
I might actually sleep here tonight.
Is there any restrictions on growth, by the way, in the state? Is there any, like, restrictions and you can only be a certain amount of size or anything like that?
No. Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, the licensing fee increases as you increase your production, you know, your barrels of production per year. But other than that, there's really not any restriction for growth.
Gotcha.
So, when you are like even like kegging the beer and everything. So, did you have to go through a distribution place to get your keg somewhere, or do you guys bring it yourself? Like, how does that work?
So we lease all of our kegs. We get them from a company called Atlas Keg Company, and they've been pretty good with us. You know, like whenever we need new kegs, they get them made, they get them printed. You know, they're all silk screened on the side of the kegs. And they ship them to us within a couple of weeks. So. Yeah,
you have two kegs at Paragon, where I host the trivia. Your two kegs are right in the front. There's like a sign on top of them. But
yeah, they've been there for probably the better part of the year.
But is it now with like equipment and stuff like that? Is there always new things coming out, or is it more of once you have it, you're pretty good, or is it always like an upkeep and more and new and better?
Things don't change too much. Right. You know, a fermenter is a fermenter, a bright tank's a bright tank.
Right.
You know, a brewing system's a brewing system. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to up in Crow's. I got to brew with the guy there a few times. It was pretty cool. That room is so, it's so funny. Like, it's so tight in there and hot, and it's like in the back. But it was a great experience. Like, just going from like homebrew batches to like, oh wow, okay. It's not just, once people realize how much cleaning and, you know, like the brewing part is the fun part, but there's so much more than that, just with the grain and everything and cleaning those tanks. And, you know, it's a huge undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess that's something people don't realize when it's not all just making the beer and sitting back and drinking it.
No, 80% of the job is cleaning. Yeah.
Just getting that grain out of that mash tun itself is a
workout. Brewers are really glorified janitors. In a way, yeah.
Which is good since it was used to be a janitorial building. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess so.
Should have kept some of the former employees. You know?
No, but the other 20% is highly specialized and very important. So
they do their job.
What about drinking beer? Is it hard not to just, like, you have 16 taps sitting over there. Is it hard not to just drink beer all day long? Like, man, I want to try that. Man, I want to try that. Or, like, I don't know. Like, I would think I'd find it hard.
I try to pace myself.
Try.
Yeah.
Have you ever slept at the brewery because you did not pace yourself?
No.
I live down the road, so I'm good.
Babe, I'm a head brewer. It's my job. I'm going to go clean the barrels after this.
They paid me to get drunk.
So do you have an all-time favorite beer you've made here?
Oh, boy.
I mean, I'm sure you love them all like your kids, but is there one that just stands out like that's my that's
my
baby?
I've never asked him this question.
That's my baby.
We made a Kiwi IPA earlier this year.
That was my favorite.
And IPAs are my gig. So that Kiwi IPA was probably my favorite beer that we've made here. I wish that was still on top.
That was, I think I said to you last time I was here, I was like, you guys going to make the Kiwi IPA again? Because I love that. And that's when I came and met you. We had a Kiwi IPA and we're talking about, you know, just the podcast and whatnot. And that was definitely one of my favorites by far.
We're going to have to get a lot of kiwis to make that a big batch.
It's not just a kiwi. It's Citra and it's Galaxy hops.
Hard to get.
It's funny you bring that up. I know, like, I read all the time about the hop shortage and stuff like that. And, like, how do you guys deal with that? Do you just, like, find things that are the same alphas and betas? Like, or is it just, is it hard? It's hard,
you know,
right?
Like, we try to contract years in advance on hops, you know, so like we're already contracted for 2017 and 2018.
Wow.
You know, 2016 harvest, which will happen in September, and the 2017 harvest, which will happen in September of 2017. And then, you know, so we're contracted for the next 2 years in terms of hops.
That's crazy. Are they all from America?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest idea anybody proposed to you about a beer flavor?
Hmm. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Right,
Febreze.
Can you think of anything else?
Well, I've had people back there make me mix them like we're at 7-Eleven or something. I've mixed multiple beers back there.
Like, can you put two together?
And Gluttony, like a black and tan coffee stout, and Sloth, which is our milk stout. That makes sense to me, but then I have people just going a little crazy.
Yeah.
One good one, actually, I recommend everyone to try is vanilla cream soda with the Astarte, or strawberry cream ale.
That sounds nice. That's killer.
But everything else is just a little absurd they asked for.
I like to try to keep an open mind, you know? Like, I guess when people suggest things, you know, like, it's almost hard, unless it's a really crazy flavor, you know, it's hard to say, yeah, we couldn't do that, you right. know? Yeah. So
I'd like to taste elk in my beer. Can we make that help?
Elk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Elk, yeah. I'm a hunter, so, you know. No?
We could probably make that happen.
All right.
We've had there people we go. Ask.
I can't wait till you get a charge on your credit card for 70 cases of elk stout. Yeah.
Can you supply the elk?
All right, I'll get to work.
What are you drinking, bro? My 70th bottle of elk stout. This is my
idea. I love it. Shut up.
Chewy.
So, any events coming up or anything that people should know? I know you have the Wrath in Bottles and whatnot. So, what's coming up for the brewery here?
Yeah. So, we have our 1 year anniversary this Sunday, but that'll be before this airs, unfortunately.
Yep.
But other than that, we've got some other events coming up in May. We've got Beer, Bacon, and Barbecue on May 21st. Mm. It's a pretty big festival. There's another festival in the Meadowlands that weekend, which I'm not sure we're doing or not, because we have two other, we have three events already scheduled that day, so it'll depend on whether we do that or not. But I think that's the World Beer Festival. Other than that, in June we have the Somerville Festival over in Somerville.
And if people wanted to check you out and go look you up or communicate with you, what's the best place for them to go?
I would say social media. You go to our website. We have links to all of our social media profiles on there. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
DementedBrewing.com.
DementedBrewing.com, yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, I got a little game here. I looked up some different names that people put out there for brews, and I made up a couple. I'm wondering to see if anybody can figure out what's real and what's fake.
All right.
You ready to go? Sex Panther.
Fake.
I say real.
It's real.
All right.
Oh, yeah?
Yeastus Christ.
That has to be real.
I'm going fake.
I'm going fake, too.
That is real.
Come on, Hebrew Brewing?
That's true.
Ghost Cheeks.
That's fake.
That's what they called me in high school.
Can only imagine that locker room scenario.
I say that's real.
It's fake.
3 for 3, by the way.
I'm over three.
I was going to say, is Tom over three?
Malt Rats.
Malt Rats. Kevin Smith.
Fake. Jersey.
Fake.
For real.
It's fake.
Damn it.
Ooh, who wants to call their beer rats? Hey, come on.
Yeah, Mallrats, it was a great movie.
Did you see that one beer? I don't even know who makes it. It's like the brown note, and the label is like a guy just like pooing to like a brown. I don't want that. I don't. It might be delicious, but I don't want it.
I'm cool with that.
I don't want it. Not a cool label. Anyway. A
couple more?
Yeah.
Buttface Amber Ale.
Fake.
True.
Yeah.
What?
Who does that?
I don't know. I got Maybe it from Buzzworthy.
We're gonna make a beer called the Shocker. That's it.
Fudge Packer Imperial Stout.
No way.
It has to be real.
That's fake.
It's probably a chocolate stout.
That's fake.
It's fake.
Damn it. God. Well, we just got an idea.
Guys, next week, come down to Demented for some Fudge Packer.
We are not making a beer called Fudge Packer.
I'll do two more here. Rye Sexual.
I'm going to open up a brewery.
Can you say that one again?
Rye Sexual.
Get it? Play on words there.
I say it's true.
I'm going true, too.
Fake. And finally, Honey Boo Brew.
Actually, I've already heard of that. That's real.
Real.
It is real.
But that is clever.
That is good.
What did you drink? Mountain Dew?
That was fun. I like that.
Thank you.
The brown note. I'm telling you, there's something out there called that. I got to show you guys after this. It's just, it could be the best beer ever, but to put it in a label like that, it just makes me like,
poor
no.
Marketing.
No,
but like the worst one I could come up with was a yeast touch my child.
Wow.
Wow.
Fake.
Oddly, that's made by Budweiser.
Are you
down in the Vatican?
A yeast touched my child. I don't know why I do this with you. I really don't.
I do. It's funny.
It is pretty good.
Thank you.
It is pretty good.
Somebody appreciates me.
I try.
But on a closing note here, you know, running this business, working here every day has doing this taught you a lot about yourself, like things you never thought you could ever do, like, or is it just kind of been like what you expected?
I think a lot of it is just what I expected. You know, I don't know. it's hard to say.
It's taught me nothing, basically.
Yeah. I expected it. I didn't expect it to be an easy.
Right.
You know, job or an easy process, and you know, I
but you love it.
I love it. Yeah, no, absolutely, I love it. And taking one day at a time, and we do the best we can do every day, and you know, hopefully we're gonna be able to continue forward into the future, and you know, keep doing that.
Well, I think you guys are doing a hell of a job. My girlfriend loves coming here. I think actually she might be here drinking in the other room. But Liz, as far as you working here, you obviously love it. You obviously have a passion for it.
Sure.
So what do you get out of it that is more than just, hey, I work at a brewery? Is it the camaraderie? Is it what is it?
To be honest, besides the experience, it's just seeing different people's tastes and seeing exactly how a different palate would work out, seeing what people put together in their flights. And Tom works really hard, and so do the guys in the brewery, and they're making good stuff, and I'm just happy to serve it.
Hell yeah.
It is.
And I just, I'd like to add that,
no,
you know,
sorry.
I,
you don't pay us enough.
I just like to add that.
Give me 20 bucks.
What I didn't expect was that I would make so many lasting friendships here. And, you know, we really have a great staff here. Liz is great. Fresh is great. Mike is great. Austin's great. I can name everybody, but everybody who works here is fantastic, and I consider them all family.
That's all.
You know,
and how many people does Demented employ?
We have about 11.
Wow.
Right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
it's always a good feeling too.
It's about 5 full-time staff, and then The rest are part-time people who work in the tasting room. But, you know, everybody is fantastic. So
it's awesome.
If somebody's home right now and they're a home brewer and they think they got a good flavor profile, want to go to the next step, what is the best recommendation you can give to them?
Have they already been home brewing? Or,
Yeah, let's say that. Yeah.
Brew it more than once and make sure you can brew it the same way.
Over and over again.
Real quick question. Stepping up from homebrewing to the much larger batches, was that a big adjustment for you, or
it really wasn't that
like
huge?
Learning everything,
you know, like we were able to scale everything up. We have brewing software that allowed us to scale most of the things up pretty easily. You know, dialing in the brewing system was a bit of a process. Once we figured out, you know, our efficiencies, our hop efficiencies, and our mash efficiencies and stuff like that, we were able to dial things in pretty quickly. So scaling up really wasn't much of a problem at all.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we want to thank both of you for coming on, and thank you
thank
for
you
supporting
guys.
Us. Yeah. And we're definitely a big supporter of you guys. And it's pretty awesome to, like I said, be sitting in a brewery next to a bunch of fermenting barrels and drinking a beer and just talking beer and the business and whatnot. So I wish you guys the best of luck and everything.
Thank you again.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Berlo, real quick before we get out of here, anything to promote?
I have something coming up, but I didn't prepare for saying it right now. So I'll go,
well,
to
I'll
you
go first.
First.
Yeah. I'll go first. Hey. Two things. May 14th, be opening for the Improv Jam guys down in Red Bank. That's at the Count Basie... I guess it's called the Learners Academy. It's right next door. And then, of course, on May 22nd is the 5th Verbal Shenanigans Comedy Show with Ken Kranz headlining, Kevin Israel featuring, KP Berg guesting, and myself hosting. So that's about it.
For me, May 13th through the 15th, I will be in Parsippany, New Jersey, doing the Steampunk World Fair. I will be a part of their overly dramatic readings all 3 days. If you want to find out more about it, it's steampunkworldfair.com.
Hope someone kills you with a gear. anyway, that's about it. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Bye-bye.